It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Now we're going to talk about the human brain and how fragile it is. You may recall that last Friday we spoke with Dr. Vasilis Koliatsos, professor of pathology, neurology, and psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, about the tiny physical wounds or lesions that show up in the brain after a bomb blast, even when that blast doesn't kill a soldier on the battlefield. Dr. Koliatsos told us his team examined autopsies that showed a unique pattern in the brains of veterans exposed to blasts, and then went on to die of other causes years later. He said that research helps explain the shell shock seen in soldiers returning from World War I a century ago. Now, from researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, we get another set of insights into how the brain reacts to traumatic injury and whether science has been paying too little attention to the impact of inflammation in the brain. Joining us by phone is Dr. Alan Faden, a neurologist and professor of anesthesiology. He and his colleague David Lone, assistant professor of anesthesiology, published research on this issue last week. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Dr. Faden, this latest paper builds on other research you've published recently about traumatic brain injury in animals. What is the conclusion you think the public should understand about your work?
Well, this paper critically assesses both animal experimentation, including our own, and human work for many years, trying to understand what happens to the human brain after injury. And much of the work historically has focused on traumatic brain injury as an acute event. That is to say, something that happens at one point in time that causes immediate or almost immediate brain damage, and then the person is left with the consequences of that damage, either to recover or to suffer disabilities. And what has been clear for a significant period of time, although not well recognized by practitioners, either neurologists or neurosurgeons, is that traumatic brain injury can cause a progressive response in the brain. That is to say, the brain degenerates over time, loses nerve cells and tissue that may go on for months or years after injury. And what's also important is the recognition, again, first observed many years ago but not believed to be important, and now recognized increasingly both in animals and humans, including living humans, that brain trauma can cause a longstanding, sometimes even permanent, inflammation in the brain. And that inflammation is associated with progressive loss of nerve cells in critical brain regions over many months or years. So that is, I think, the new observations coming from many sources now, and moreover, that inflammation appears to be a very significant and under-recognized part of that process. And very importantly, at least experimentally, that chronic inflammation can be treated, and animals can be made to recover very substantially after a serious brain injury, even weeks or months after the insult.
And I want to ask you more about treatment, but I first want to make sure that I'm understanding. Since brain inflammation occurs over this long period of time, how do researchers spot it and factor it in so you can reach conclusions about it?
Well, historically, it was observed in autopsy cases. So many years ago, it was observed in autopsies from patients who died many years after a serious head injury, that inflammatory cells were found to be widespread in the brain. And until recently, that was considered an epiphenomenon, that is to say something that occurred but probably wasn't important in the injury process. More recently, it's been observed in a much larger series of human autopsies that came out of a collaboration between Scotland and the University of Pennsylvania, that a very substantial percentage of individuals with prior head injury, moderate or severe, have sustained inflammation many years later. Also recently, people have used advanced brain imaging techniques with a very specific compound that can measure inflammation in the living brain. And what they observed and what was reported in a major journal several years ago and recently replicated in athletes, actually, was that prior history of head injury was associated with chronic inflammation in the brain as long as 17 years later, and not only at the site of injury, but actually very widespread in the brain and affecting critical structures that are associated with cognition and memory.
And you just mentioned football players or athletes. What kind of injuries are we talking about here?
Well, surprisingly, the data increasingly are suggesting that it doesn't even take concussion necessarily to cause injuries. Information had come out in boxers subjected to repeated brain injuries, and more recently, professional athletes in high-contact sports like American pro football, who may have sustained many prior concussions, can have a long-standing disorder which people have termed chronic traumatic encephalopathy, but a disorder that in which there's severe brain degeneration and psychiatric and neurological symptoms, including suicide and dementia. And but increasingly it's been recognized both by brain imaging studies and neuropsychological types of investigations that simply exposure to practice in football with repeated levels of subconcussion hits, which is to say levels of exposure that don't cause a change in brain physiology or brain function that the person recognizes, but still over time, with hundreds and thousands of such hits, one might also show levels of brain damage. Now, that work is at a very early stage, and one can argue or debate whether it's really true, but it's very suggestive. That is to say, people have shown that football players who have not even been on the first team, that is to say, more scrub players even, but anybody playing playing football in this one study of college athletes demonstrated smaller areas of the brain called hippocampus, which is where we make memories, and it was found in all football players compared to people that didn't play football, and it was more severe in those that had prior concussion but was still apparent in those that had not. There have also been studies that have looked at neuropsychological profiles from the beginning of a season to the end of a season and suggested, again, that not only the starters but even other players on the team might have changes in neuropsychological performance from the beginning to the end of a season, again suggesting that exposure to repeated hits, even if they do not lead to concussion, may cause problems. And again, it's controversial, it's early, but what's not controversial is the fact that repeated concussion can cause significant disabilities later on, and increasingly it's becoming clear that inflammation in the brain, at least certainly experimentally with concussion and repeated concussion, begins to mimic exactly what happens after a more severe brain injury.
That's neurologist and professor of anesthesiology, Dr. Alan Faden, here on Maryland Morning, 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast, and we're talking about the research he published with David Lone about the impact of inflammation after even mild traumatic brain injury. We talked about athletes. Does your research have implications for the elderly who take a fall?
Absolutely, and very important. In fact, it's a major focus of my lab's work. David Lone specifically is funded by NIH to study specifically traumatic injuries experimentally in aged animals, and we've published some work on this. It's well known that head injury in older individuals is more severe as a rule, okay? That the consequences are worse. It's quite clear in experimental animals, and we've published this, that if you produce the same injury in a juvenile animal and an elderly animal, the lesion size, that is to say, the destruction, is four times larger in the older animal than the younger animal. And the enzyme system that I mentioned, this free radical generating system called NOX2, is markedly enhanced in elderly animals as it is compared to younger animals, and is associated with a greater degree of inflammation in the elderly brain and a greater degree of cell loss in the elderly brain. And our center, the so-called PATEC Center, is intending to look at that in humans specifically.
So there may be a way of addressing that outsized inflammatory response in an older brain.
Exactly. And remember that the average person, one out of three individuals over the age of 65 will have a significant fall in the next year. And if one has fallen once, the probability is one out of two in the following year. So this is an enormous problem. Many of them sustained brain injuries. Many sustained hip fractures. And we're studying both brain injuries and hip fractures in this center.
You mentioned this opens the door to treatment. What kind of treatment? How might this work?
Well, what has occurred is that one has investigated not only the fact that inflammation occurs, but what mechanisms, what are the responsible chemical pathways that are responsible for initiating that. In the first paper we published about 2 years ago, we demonstrated that a molecular treatment strategy that shut down that pathway could be administered to animals even 1 month after a rather severe brain injury, in which we had the same kinds of information as we have in humans. We had very high-field MRI scans on the animals and cognitive performance and so on, and the animals were randomly assigned to treatment with just a vehicle, which was a salt water or a placebo, and the treatment. And the animals treated 1 month after injury showed remarkable recovery of cognitive performance and motor performance over time. Their brain lesions, or the hole in the brain that they had, stopped progressing, in contrast to the control animals, in which the brains continued to degenerate. More recently, we showed that structured exercise in animals, but only if done long after the trauma, can also shut down the same inflammatory pathway and improve recovery.
What kind of exercise?
Well, this is in rodents where you put them on a running wheel, and they run enormous distances. They run a number of miles per evening. And we instituted that 5 weeks after brain injury, and the animals recovered very substantially. They were actually able to generate new nerve cells in the brain regions responsible for cognitive performance. And so, this mimicked what we saw with this molecular strategy, and it targeted the same pathway, this free radical generating pathway. Ironically and interestingly, early initiation of exercise made inflammation in the brain worse after trauma, so that's something to be noted also.
One last thing before I let you go. Mm-hmm. These mice running miles, you're talking about regular measured miles on their little legs? I mean, mm-hmm. It would be the equivalent of humans running marathons.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's very interesting. The animals are addicted to exercise more than our marathon runners, and in fact, some have said if you have a rodent or pest problem in your house, put a running wheel out and you'll collect all of the animals.
Because they love it.
They love it.
That's so interesting. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Dr. Alan Faden is neurologist and professor of anesthesiology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. He worked with assistant professor of anesthesiology David Lone on this research. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Annie's Lyricist. Stay with us on 88.1.